Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above. How about that full moon last night? Wasn't it a gorgeous one? Huge, huge, I tell you. It was absolutely stunning. And if I thought for even 1 minute that my camera would have gotten a picture of it, I would have taken a picture. But I know that it never looks as gorgeous in the camera lens. As the picture's taken, as it does when it's in person, or as beautiful as it looks even through the lens before you snap the picture. But I hope everybody got a chance to see it. It was beautiful. Did it look pink to you? I don't know why they call it the pink moon. I'm sure it's something that goes back into lore and myth, but it didn't look pink to me. It just looked big, bright, orangey yellow, and just gorgeous. So how's everybody feeling about yesterday's full moon too? How about the energy of the day? How's everybody reacting to everything that's happened? And is there anything new that you're feeling? Because today to me feels a little bit like, hard to put into words, because I was thinking about how it feels to me like we've turned a corner, or that we've at least come to a peak and maybe we're going to, you know, start the descent into more normality. But then I found myself a little sad about things going back to normal. And what does normal mean? Is there a new normal? And that was the part that really bothered me, is because it seems like things are a little bit better, even though we're dealing with people dying and with this virus and the fear that's been generated by all of that. It feels to me like things are better, right? The birds are singing louder, or maybe that's just because I can hear them because there's not as many cars out on the road. It feels like the air is even cleaner. And maybe that's just because there aren't as many cars or people out running around. I don't know. But it almost feels a little bit sad to me to think about going back to normal. Now, it's not that I don't want people to have their jobs back and things like that. But I think one of the lessons that we've learned here, if we look back at this, if we can pretend we're, you know, months from now and we're looking back over this time, is that how much more precious the earth is, how much more precious our time together is. And if we can take those lessons and move those forward, then we can create a new world. But if everybody just assumes that it's okay, we're done, we're going back to our normal self, and we're just going to hustle and bustle and forget that there was ever this kind of that's the sad part of having gone through this experience at all, is that we didn't learn anything. And what we learned, maybe we're not applying, and we just go back to beating up the earth, beating up each other, etc. So that was my wistful feeling that I was having this morning as I was preparing the day and looking at the transits of the day. So let's see. I'm going to say really quickly, good morning to everybody. Debbie Hedden, good morning. Deb Johnson, good morning. Jan Landry, good morning. Monique Alexander, good morning. Great to see you all. Debbie Hedden says, I totally agree with everything you're feeling. The moon was amazing. It was so, so beautiful. Amy says, good morning. Just want to say I'm so grateful for you, Janet. Thank you. And all the community here every morning, sending love to all. And of course, we are here to support one another. We can talk about the astrology. What do the planets look like? What are they going to, you know, bring to us today? That kind of thing. They started void, of course, at 5:50 a.m. my time. So 8:50 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast. Certainly you can do that. I mean, I'm not going to tell you don't do it. I'm just going to say, if you want it to have some teeth, check up on your intuition, if you will, or just do an inner world checkout of what's going on, what's in your thought processes, planets that are in the later degrees of Capricorn. So today we end up with the moon in a square to Pluto. We end up with the, you know, forward down into the future. And the square, meaning the moon, was emotionally challenging that picture of what goes on in the future to Uranus, and then into a square with Mars. So today is one of those days where getting traction, trying to get somewhere. In fact, that's what I titled the show this morning, you know, one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas. And what the heck does that mean today? That has it in red. But I can see why it would be in red, because that those squares from Libra, that's pretty much out of the way. It is a powerful transformer, right? It's transforming our emotional self. And the Pluto, and let me show it to you, because I could do that this morning. I actually put that picture up early. There we go. Here's our human design chart. And up here is where we have the planet Jupiter and the planet Pluto. So the moon, as it squares, it challenges us. And that brings up emotional energy likely because that's what the moon represents. So that moon square Pluto may be bringing up that energy of that transformation that we're going through. And what do we feel about that? Is it that wistful, oh no, things are going to go back to the way they were? Or is it, oh my gosh, I can't wait until things go back to the way they were? And all of the emotional energy that entails. And then along with that comes the magnitude of the numbers of people that we've lost and the number of dollars that have been lost in our economy. So there's a heavy weight there that we might be feeling in either one direction, you know, the, oh no, what happens when things go back to normal versus the other end, which is, you know, oh no, look at how much we've lost. And so that's a part of our day. And then the square to Jupiter does have that more forward look, right? It's showing us the future. And also the challenge that we have to embrace the future and the maybe a little bit of fear about what's in the future, right? What lies in our future. When we look at the gate 61 gene keys. Oh my God, my brain went dead for a second. Here's the gate 61 up here. It's in the head center. And by the way, this is the center for ideas and inspiration and excitement about an idea or about something new. So the gate 61 here greets all of that with awe and wonder, but also asks the question, why? So there's a lot of questioning that goes on with planets that sit at the gate 61. In its gift, it is the energy of inspiration, being in spirit, right? Inspiration in the highest expression is the gate of sanctity. In its lowest expression, of course, we already know it's psychosis, craziness, right? Trying to do the same things, trying to do new things. Wait. Doing things the same way and expecting a new result, sort of that insanity and psychosis kind of energy. So we have two planets sitting there and they're being triggered up today because of the moon. So we have that goes on as the moon moves through the void, it comes out into the sign of Scorpio. And of course we know Scorpio is an energy that's pretty powerful in and of itself. And we're going to talk about Scorpio energy with the moon in just a moment, but I want to continue our conversation about the transits that will be triggered today. And then first transit triggered after the moon moves out of the void is a square to the planet Saturn, which is still sitting at about 1 degree of Aquarius. So hold on. I got to think about this. That square is actually going to happen before the move. Interesting. And then we have, so at the square to Saturn, duty and responsibility and all those things that are important for us to the structure, the form, the boundaries, the limits that we're dealing with in order to build something new. What do you have to have? Structure and form. And there is a powerful energy then in the human design where Saturn is, the gate 60, which is right down here at the bottom. It sits on the root center. So by the way, the gate 61 up in the head is a pressure center. Remember the pressure pushing down on us to get something done. And then the pressure here in the head is about asking questions, proving that things are right or wrong, and asking how, trying to, you know, getting caught up in all of those questions. The pressure at this end where Saturn is the pressure to do. And the pressure to do here is at the gate 60, which is a gate of change. It's the gate of mutation. In the gene keys, it's the gate of limitation in the shadow. In the gift, it's the gate of justice, right? Justice. Certainly we need a dose of that coming on into the world. And as the day moves on with the moon further into the sign of Scorpio, we end up with a opposition to the planet Uranus. Now, Uranus has been sitting at the gate 27, and the 27 sits in the sacral center, and it moves over toward the spleen. It is the gate that we think of as nurturing and feeding and clothing and taking care of the children, raising up a family. But it's all the structure and the day-to-day things that support growing your tribe. So making sure they're clothed, making sure they're fed, making sure they're educated, they know the rules, the laws of the land or of the tribe. So the gate 27 is very much mothering energy. It's very much nurturing and taking care of both the young and at the other end, the elderly, and making sure that everybody in between has all the tools that they need to build a life. So 27 is very powerful, very important in human design. With an opposition of the moon to Uranus, we may be feeling more profoundly like we need to really support those people, right? That we need to, that, or a wistfulness that we haven't really much supported those people, that that somehow their safety net got, you know, holes in it and we didn't repair it. Now, the young seem to be doing pretty well, except when you look at education, we can see a huge failing, I think, right now in the difference between us as an industrialized nation, where a good percentage of children do not have access to the internet, do not have a laptop or a computer at home through which they can access the internet or their school lessons. And also the need for teachers to be able to teach online, to be able to, you know, take their curriculum and apply it in a new way. That's a glaring hole. And should something like this ever happen again, we would want to make sure that that's something that we immediately can take care of. They did a really good job, by the way, of making sure that kids had food, if the, you know, for the kids that depended upon lunches through the school, et cetera. But what they didn't count on was an extended period of time where the kids were out of school, and how do we teach them, right? So they're working with it. It's not like they're doing a bad job. It's just that, you know, I think all of us kind of got caught a little bit with our pants down, if you will, because we weren't quite prepared for this kind of thing. So we have that happening. Then later in the day, the very last thing is the square to Mars. And a square to Mars means that we have that's the gas pedal energy, right? Excuse me, the square to Saturn was more of the foot on the brake, plus the void was the foot on the brake. And the square to Mars might be that, where's the gas pedal and why am I not going anywhere? I'm, you know, I've got it full down onto the ground and I'm not going anywhere. So that energy can make for some frustration and some inner conflict as we can't seem to gain traction to go anywhere. And even if I could, I can't go anywhere. Where would I go? What would I do? So it's an interesting day where we might feel a lot of the stress and the strain of these planets that are dancing around in the universe. Okay, then let's take a closer look at the moon in Scorpio. First, I want to go back here, take a check on everybody. Good morning, Asa. She's sending love to everyone. Good morning, Sue. She says, so much energy coming in. Everybody, I think, is feeling it. Colleen, pink moon is because it's spring and flowers are blooming. Awesome. Thanks, Colleen. And Elisa, good morning to you. And Monique Alexander says, I'm here. I see you. Well, I don't see you. I wish I could see all your bright, shiny faces. We could, if we all decided to join in on Zoom, we could make this a meeting in the morning and we could all be together in the Zoom link. If anybody's ever interested in doing that face-to-face, tell me and I will send that link out and you guys could join that way. We just won't see each other on Facebook like we do right here, but we still have the chat in Zoom. So it would be kind of fun to do that. All right. So let's go back and talk now about what the moon in Scorpio, what can we expect when the moon transitions over to that sign out of Libra and into Scorpio? And I think a lot of you might think, whew, right, we've dodged the Libra energy from to the square to the planets in Capricorn, but that's short-lived when you realize that the two rulers of Scorpio, Pluto, and Mars are still highly activated in the chart and are bringing us, you know, this energy of change. So we consequently see with the moon moving into Scorpio, the possibility of more power struggles pulling up. I don't even know how I got onto this, but yesterday just noticed this power struggle going on between the inspector generals in this country and the president. And I'm sure there are power struggles between the CDC and the president or the White House and it's just kind of crazy how these struggles are popping up and they're showing up in the information that's coming out to all of us. Then that's specific here to the United States, but some of you in other countries may be feeling sort of the same thing, where power struggles are coming up and how to handle these very powerful changes and transformations that are upon us. Now, this is also a time where we may be picking up information that's been hidden from us, where we may be intuiting that there's something more here, that there's something that's been, there's a secret, or there is information that's being withheld, and we may be tapping into that more and more as the days go by here, the next 3 days anyway, while the moon is in Scorpio. We also are triggering our, this transit triggers our own personal ambition. It is a call to gain more power and authority personally, right? So this isn't about creating a power struggle for you, but if you personally find yourself in a power struggle or someone else in a power struggle with you, the only way to really call up your own power is to gain your own authority and not engage in the struggle between you and another person, right? You have your own authority and your own power without having to try to bring down someone else or take out someone else. That kind of energy is just not necessary. But unfortunately, with Scorpio, a Scorpio moon, that may be what we find. This is where you hold your own, right? This is the energy of being emotionally intelligent, using your emotions correctly, personal emotional strength, perseverance, and endurance in the face of obstacles and challenges. That Scorpio energy is very good for that, right? Plus, there's the passion for your ideas, for your goals, for what you love, and expressing that through your creativity, through your emotional responses to things. Notice I use the word response. Emotional response, not emotional reactivity. Unfortunately, the lower side of Scorpio is kind of passive aggressive, right? The scorpion whose sting comes when you least expect it, comes up from behind. And even in the wild, a scorpion would rather sting itself to death than to be caught by a predator. Interesting kind of motif going through Scorpio, even for us as people, rather than to yield or to give in or to really be the power behind something, we give up on ourselves or we blame, shame, guilt other people. That's also a part of some of this Scorpio energy. But we can choose to change, right? Pluto is one of the co-rulers, and Pluto is about transformation and change, transmutation even. And in that change, we have the power of forgiveness, right? Letting go, suspending judgment of what's happening, suspending judgment on other people, suspending judgment on yourself, right? That's what forgiveness is about. It's not saying that I forgive you does not mean that what you did was right. It just means that I'm releasing the judgment around that interaction or around what happened. And that then takes that, you are taking your own power back in that interaction or in that issue that has popped up between you and another person. This is about transmuting toxic emotions. Anything toxic at this point, right? Toxic emotions, toxic people, toxic situations that we likely need to find a way to let go of, release, because release is a time. I mean, the moon in Scorpio is a releasing time. Kind of appropriate since we're also still in the shadow of that full moon where release was also something very possible. This is also an energy of merging, release, and also merging, where we have the focus on sex. We have a focus on how we are entangled through our minds, through psychic connections, that entanglement, how we get entangled with one another, and how we need to change that entanglement to one of maybe cooperation and, you know, working together. We have a few things to watch out for when the moon is in Scorpio, besides some of the things we talked about, because some of the most negative expressions of the abuse of power is in revenge, is in resentment, is in blind rage, is in jealousy and paranoia. So we see that often in our news stories and in our world, right? So those are the more negative things that we want to release while the moon is in Scorpio, never mind the very powerful emotional damage that can be done when we engage in those energies, right? So taking care there. All righty, let me go back, see if there are any questions. Anybody have anything else that they want to talk about? don't see anything here. Very good. So let's move on to something else. I wanted to make sure the other day I read to you the wisdom story. Oops, where did my cards go? Here we go. Right. I read to you the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, where the South Node was at the gate 10. And we read that story because that's where the nodes have moved, to the gate 10 and to the gate 15. And I'll just let you remember that the gate 10 is the love of self, and the shadow energy was about self-obsession. In the gift, it was naturalness, and in the city, it was being, human being. So we read that story. That is the South Node. So those are some of the tools and the gifts that you have, that you bring with you here, right? Along with other things that you did personally as well. But right now, those are the things that we can really go hold as our tools that we now get to pour out toward the North Node. And so I felt like we've been kind of hanging here without knowing where's the North Node going, right? So today I wanted to read the magnetism. Here's our North Node. Gate 15, the love of humanity in human design. And isn't she a beauty, right? She's got some beautiful little symbols going on in her little face. Again, those big eyes, they just make you want to love her. Look at what she has at her throat, the world, right? She has the world at her throat, butterflies moving up her neck. Beautiful, beautiful card. In the gate 15, which let me switch real quickly back to the human design chart here, and I'll show you where the gate 15 is. This is on the identity center. This is a center whose energy is about love. It's not just about identity, right? This is the seat of the soul, and the soul knows love. And the gate 10 is the love of self, where the gate 15 is the love of humanity. We've also recently talked about the gate 46, the love of being in the physical, and the gate 25, which is universal love. But we also have other gates up here that may not be necessarily called the gates of love, but they do represent love energy as well, because this center is all about love energy. And notice, I mean, it's just right there at the heart, right? Just at the solar, just before the solar plexus and just below the throat. So it's right there at the heart. It's called the identity center, but I really think it's also a part of the heart energy. So when we look at 15, then what we see is it is the shadow of dullness and the gift of magnetism, and the siddhi is fluorescence. Fluorescence, what a wonderful word. So let's read the story here and see what it means for us. All right, so the wisdom story is, well, first of all, the title, one of the great challenges for modern humanity is to learn how to slow down. Maybe that's one of the things I was feeling this morning too, is that life right now has a slower pace. And isn't it kind of nice not to have to, you know, be so, you know, tense that you have to be someplace on time? I mean, I really have enjoyed that. Other than being here at 8 o'clock in the morning, the rest of my day seems pretty free. Here's the wisdom story. We'd been living in that same small town forever. Maybe it was the muggy days or my hopping hormones, as mom liked to say. But one summer, everything about that place rubbed me the wrong way. It wasn't that there was something horrible going on. It was that nothing was going on. I thought I'd die from the dullness. Either that or strangle my sister for constantly trying to distract herself from the undeniable emptiness of our lives. My mom complained about my attitude. Maybe my sister couldn't stick with anyone or anything for more than 5 blinks at a time, and maybe her behavior was extreme. This is called the gate of extremes alternatively as well, guys. But at least she was trying. Me? I didn't care. I couldn't see the point of caring much about anything or anyone. My life was going nowhere. But then I found myself looking at my dog, Nilly. There she was, lounging on the porch with her tongue hanging out, happy as a canine clam. At first, I was green with envy. How on earth did she do that? Just sit there, all relaxed, not needing to change a thing, and looking so annoyingly cute on top of that. Next thing I knew, I was lying down next to her, listening to the soft rise and fall of her furry belly, staring up at the sky, doing nothing for hours. And in that timeless time, I bathed in so much emptiness that I started to overflow with a feeling that was better than happiness. Tears welled up and I squeezed Nilly until she could barely catch a pant. Since then, mom says I'm giving off a glow. Even my sister is slowing down enough to hang out with me, even when there's nothing at all to do. My gift to you. If a country girl like me can find magic in the dullest places, so can you. But I'm here to tell you that you mustn't fight the dullness or it won't work. You have to lean into it. You have to embrace it with your whole entire self. You have to slow down. I know it's hard. It may even feel scary, but if you do that long enough without judging yourself for being lazy, you're very likely going to find yourself feeling pretty excited about life and with an irresistible magnetism gleaming out of your beautiful eyes, and you won't even need a reason for it. Here are your questions for contemplation, which I will post later today. Do you try to escape dullness and feelings of emptiness through a flurry of activity that doesn't truly feed you? Or do you collapse into it through depression or resignation? What quality would you like to emanate from within? Do an experiment where you embrace dullness completely. Go for it. See what happens. Go lay on the porch with your dog or cat. Spend time with a completely relaxed animal. Learn from them. Think of someone you know who has deep personal magnetism. How can their modeling help you to allow your own inner essence to shine? Lovely. I think we have a lot to learn here in this gate. The gate 15, magnetism. Also, before I go on from that, I think because we have just today and tomorrow before the sun and earth change signs again, or change gates, I mean, let's look at the gate of shock, the gate of initiation. And here is our little guy for that. It is the initiation. It is 51, which is awakening, shock and awe. The gate or the starting of your very deeply held spiritual journey. And look at, he's got the Om symbol there between his eyes or on his bridge of his nose. What's on his forehead? The all-seeing eye and a lotus flower. Lovely. Okay, so we're going to read this one too. So this is where the sun is right now at the gate 51. And the 51, a tricky gate. It's one of the trickiest of trickies. And, you know, and it can be a scary gate, even though it's not necessarily on a fear place, but it has the essence of waking us up, of, you know, giving that shakeup or that shock that causes you to move toward love, right? Universal love is the place you're meant to move toward. This is also an important gate for us to understand, as later in the year, Mars will be sitting at this gate for an extended period of time during his retrograde, and that could be driving all kinds of interesting things to happen out there in the world. Okay, so creative initiative is the path of every human spirit. Every one of us must at some point in life leave the crowd and head off into the uncharted wilderness of our hearts. The gift is initiative, the shadow is agitation, and the city is awakening. Here's the story. When I was just a toddler, several monks appeared at our door. After vigorous testing, I was recognized as the incarnation of a spiritual master. My parents were not religious people. They were shocked, but too subservient and cowardly to fight for me. I'll never forget crying as I was taken away from my mother. For 1 year, I was bathed in love and attention by my appointed teacher. I loved him so much. He always showed me pictures of my parents, reminding me of our connection. But one day, our monastery was brutally attacked by hostile soldiers who hated our people. My beloved teacher was killed. Before I knew what had happened, I was swept up into the arms of another monk. We escaped through the mountains and arrived in another monastery. Though well cared for, I was terribly jumpy and nervous. I had trouble focusing on my studies. It was hard to trust anyone. My mind and heart understood I was safe, but my body didn't. It was always on guard and desperate to release its agitation. Violence wasn't an option, so my mind took over. I became obsessed with moving up the ranks in the monastery and constantly reminded myself that I was special because I was chosen so early. I was determined to be the first of my peers to awaken. To my peers, I seemed fearless, disciplined, and precocious, but deep down, I was traumatized. Thankfully, my new teacher saw the terror in me and understood the shock I'd been through. He also knew that shock would be one of my greatest teachers. One day it would help me release the false security of the ego, accept the certainty of death, and awaken to oneness. But he also wisely knew I was too young to understand this. Instead of a lecture, he gave me a paintbrush, a canvas, and the freedom to do whatever I wanted. His instruction was simple: follow your heart. The first stroke felt like jumping off a cliff, but soon I was filling the canvas with colors and symbols like anything seen before. My body relaxed. I made friends and lost interest in competition. At first, I believed I was creating something new through the art, but now I know I am only rediscovering and retracing an eternal truth. There is no need to bring something new to the canvas, only to unveil the canvas itself. My gift to you. I am not here to lead you. I am here to initiate you. It is time to step off the beaten track, release everything you've ever been taught, and embrace an entirely new way of being. Though you may stand upon the shoulders of others, in the end, only you can take the leap. There is no safety net, no way to avoid fear. If you want to transcend fear, move through it. Honor your creative impulses wherever they take you. Let your awe-filled heart lead you back to your own heart. Good fortune is inevitable when you trust the love inside of you. If you do have a need to compete, do not compete with others. Funnel your competitive urges into your own creativity. And soon, you will find competition replaced by deeply fulfilling collaboration. Here are your questions for contemplation for this one. Do your fears keep you feeling agitated, hopeless, or shut down? Do you shy away from life, or do you engage in risky behaviors? Does your competitive drive get in the way of your relationships? Do you ever draw out the hostility in others and not know why? Think of a time you faced a fear and experienced a breakthrough. What were you afraid of? What and who gave you courage? What leap are you being called to take at this time of your life? Find a creative way to explore the unknown. Isn't that awesome? That's something that I think all of us need to do at this moment in time, right? Explore the unknown. Take a leap of faith. Okay, so going back to the Facebook page, Amy loves that. Mine is defined in yellow, feeling much love today. Very cool. And good morning, Kathy Miller. Hoping everyone is doing well. Stay safe. I do believe we're doing pretty well here. Kathy, we all send you the same hopes and wishes. And it's great to see you out there this morning. Finally, let's go into our Pleiadian Earth energy of the day, because here's where we're really seeing that energy of the foot on the brake and the foot on the gas and trying to go somewhere and not being able to because we're spinning our wheels. Today is four moving energy, which is Chichan in the Mayan calendar, which was represented by the snake, right? So the serpent. The energy of four is the universal energy of the day. So all life forms are resonant with this energy today. And this energy is one about foundation building, being in the state of having a strong foundation. But is it stability and safety and security, or is it rigidness or being stuck? Right. So we get caught up in that today. This is about the energy of practical and realistic application of everything that we've learned, everything that we know. And it is an interesting juxtaposition because it's an energy that stays still. It is a foundation, right? Does your foundation move around? No, not usually. Or it shouldn't, or it should give a little bit, but it is mostly what we would consider stable, right? So we have this energy that's not moving, but the earth energy of the day is about moving, right? It is about exploring new ideas. It is about integrating differences that we might note between one another in positive ways. I saw a this is so funny. I saw a comment by somebody to a picture I posted over the weekend. It was the Time magazine cover of from 2017 that showed that already, and you know, this is 3 years ago, that we knew we wouldn't be ready if ever a pandemic struck the US. And so I posted that and someone made this snarky comment and I almost just wrote, "You're such a moron." I refrained. I did not need to go here, right? I needed to be able to look at from his point of view. What was he seeing that I wasn't? That is the energy of the day today, right? I literally almost did that just before we went on air this morning. So this is a time, a day of integrating those differences that we have with one another in positive ways, right? Avoiding that conflict in the outer based on an inner conflict, right? So that comment that he made triggered an inner conflict within me. And that then comes to the surface. And then we have a choice. Do we, you know, spout out? Do we be snarky back, or do we do something, you know, in reaction to that energy, or do we just let it come to the surface and see what its meaning is, right? To look at that we have the very powerful inner power of choice, right? In every moment, we can choose what we say, what we do, what we don't do, what we don't say, how we say what we say, how we don't do what we don't do, et cetera, et cetera. You get my drift, right? So those inner conflicts on a day like today all come up to the surface, and then it becomes an opportunity for you to choose what you do with that. What do you do? How do you handle it? So today is a day about spiritual integrity, right? Walking your talk and talking your walk, in bringing that very powerfully and fully into our 3D reality. And it shows us where we might be out of alignment. Heart and mind aren't in alignment, so, or not in coherence, right? That's another word we could use. So today is a day about bringing heart and mind into coherence, into an alignment, and being able to choose what you say, what you do when an opportunity arises, right? When that inner conflict comes up to the surface. And I think that's also interesting in light of Scorpio being where the moon is moving into later today, as that shows us, right, the possibility of the stinger, the passive aggression, right, that comes out. And instead, we need to move up to that level of at least the eagle, if not the phoenix, where we can transform all of that into very positive energies. So, that's our day. Hopefully everybody gets that. And any questions this morning? Anybody have anything going on that they want to throw out to the group? Because that's literally it for me today. It's kind of nice to have a day that's not quite so crazy. Tomorrow's even less crazy, which I think is good. Tomorrow is a full day of the moon in Scorpio, no void to deal with, only one transit to deal with. Literally, it is a very nice day tomorrow, although we may still be, you know, hanging over a little bit with the energies from today. But I think for the most part, it will be a pretty cool day tomorrow. Okay, well, I don't see any new comments coming up or any questions. I want to take a moment. That's what I wanted to do this morning. There was something else I wanted to do that had nothing to do with really astrology. But as we are in preparation for me to start taking my show live on Facebook, no, I'm on Facebook, live on YouTube, I wanted to show you where my channel was. And I can do that through, hold on here, I'm going to have to do this in a very weird way. I meant to do this morning before I came online. And I did not. Eek. But I want to show you my actual YouTube channel, because somehow I managed to get two channels, because I'm a Gemini. I have to have two of everything. And I don't know how to get rid of the wrong one. So I'm making sure that you see the right one. So hold on while I share my screen for all of you. All right. So what you should be seeing is Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. This is my YouTube channel. If you do not see this banner, you are on the wrong channel. You are on my old one. And this is how you guys can help me. I know you guys are such wonderful people that you can help me. First of all, for those of you who watch the YouTube channel already, like Tom, I know you go to YouTube to watch the videos every day. Please stay through as long as you can in the video, because what I need in order to make this YouTube channel successful is a certain number of hours of watch time, 4,000 to be exact, and I'm at like 1,700. And I need subscribers. I have to have 1,000 subscribers, and I do believe I only have like 274 right here, right? So I need you to come to my YouTube page. And some of you are not familiar with YouTube, which is why I'm showing this to you. You click the subscribe button right here, the red button, it says subscribe. Now also, because I'm going to be moving things over to that, and you're used to seeing me announce the show on Facebook, you can click there in on your page, because this is my own page, it's not going to show it to me. You should see a little bell, and the bell either has a line through it or it's solid, but it'll be grayed out. If you click on one of the top bells, it means that you're subscribing and you're getting notifications. So anytime a new video comes up, you'll get notified in your YouTube channel or on YouTube that you have a new video to watch from me. The main thing right now I need are subscribers. And the other thing I need is for people to get notified, but also to watch the videos if you can from here. And I believe I'm going to nip that one pretty quickly as soon as I go to the live broadcasting here. But I wanted to show that to you. So for those of you who listen to me on podcast later, because this show also gets loaded up to Blog Talk, if you wouldn't mind coming to Living Astrology, that is the name of my channel, Living Astrology, and clicking subscribe, that would be tremendously helpful to me as well. All right. Stop sharing. And let's see, anybody have any last comments over here on Facebook? Perhaps a card for all of us? Woohoo! I think that's a good one. Let's see. Shall we pull a... We did pull a spirit animal card earlier in the week, and I was really flabbergasted that that was Wombat, and that Wombat's message was stay home. So let's see if we can pull... Let's do a goddess. Let's do a goddess card for all of us. I haven't played with her yet this week. Okay, so this will be for us as a collective. And remember, the goddess cards give us an empowerment message, or if the card is upside down, it is an alignment message. Wow. And, ooh, two cards jumped out. So let's look at these two. All right. Interesting pair. I swear we've had this pair before. Metis, the goddess of wisdom. Look at her headdress. She's just fantastic. Oops, let me move back to Zoom so I can make sure you guys can see. There's Metis. She was right side up. Wisdom, the goddess of wisdom. And then upside down was Morrigan, which is death and magic. That's very Scorpio, by the way. Death and magic, but she was upside down. So here we have an alignment message, and here we have the empowerment message from Metis. Okay, so let's take a look at these goddesses. Okay, so wrong one, Metis, there we go. So the empowerment message from Metis, which is the goddess of wisdom. Experience woven together with knowledge creates a beautiful thing, wisdom. Its parts are entwined like a finely made rope that is so strong it can't be cut. Wisdom, once earned, becomes an essential part of you. Right now, the Greek goddess of wisdom, Metis, says you know exactly what to do in your current circumstances. The real question is, do you have the courage and the commitment to make a wise choice? Your answer is to not hide. You are being invited to look within rather than without. Take the wisdom you already have and apply it to your question. Perhaps, however, you must instead draw forth the humility to find someone wiser to weigh in. In this powerful time, others may seek you out for your wisdom. This is also an auspicious period when new relationships are founded on deep truths shared with others. You are entering a potent period of your life to share all that you are and all that you have learned. Extraordinary things are possible when the goddess Metis reminds you of your wisdom and the need to express it. Woohoo! We like that. Okay, so Morrigan is the energy of death and magic, and she was upside down, so we have an alignment message with this one. Magic is everywhere and in all aspects of life, including death, dying, decay, and what is dark and hidden deep within our very natures. Yet in our modern culture, we spend so much time in denial, concocting ways to avoid death, refusing to allow nature to be true. We've lost so much wisdom as a result. Interesting. You're being invited to address the areas in your life that no longer serve and that need to die without a promise of what will take its place. Do you need to walk away from someone, a way of behaving or thinking? Like the caterpillar who has no idea how to be a butterfly, you must surrender to the process of metamorphosis. You must make room for the miracle while at the same time not demanding certainty. The magical death goddess Morrigan offers you the alignment task of self-inquiry. What death are you resisting right now? What darkness do you need to bring to awareness? And how has fear ruled your choices? Who could you be if you had the courage to look at life on life's terms? Your magic is so much stronger than you think. You can do this. Your dreams depend on it. Morrigan will be with you every step of the way. Wow. I think those two go together quite nicely, don't you? So interesting message for all of us. So thank you, Deb Johnson, for asking for that. And I think that is it for me today. I hope all of you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. with not much to talk about. So maybe we'll do some card readings and some chart readings tomorrow. If you have a specific thing that you are grappling with, let me know, and we'll maybe take a look at your chart for that or pull you a card. All right. Take care, everybody. It was great to see you. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.